Hey, Tom, I'll tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive. We'll take a quick break and then get ready. We got some big, big car news stories.
Yeah, big news.
Especially one involving Ford. So we're going to talk about that. But, yeah, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, we're consumerguide.com. We review everything all the time for all your new car and used car information. Check out consumerguide.com. We also try to have some fun with what's going on in the automotive industry, and that's at our blog. You can get there from consumerguide.com. Just hit visit our blog or go directly there at the CG Daily Drive. That's CG Daily Drive. That's our blog.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
All right, Tom's going to hang on when we come back. Big car news to talk about and any and all automotive questions from you. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue on a Tuesday morning. Tuesday, yeah, two for Tuesday, man, yeah. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That's also the phone number that you should call or text with any and all of your automotive questions, because Tom Appel is here from Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And let's welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
Hey, before we get to the some of the big news, what have you been driving lately?
Oh, what a great question. I am driving just now, picked it up today, the all-new 2019 Ram 1500 pickup.
Ooh.
Which has been completely redesigned, and the interior is completely over the top. As people know, consumers are increasingly driving pickups for personal use, not just for hauling stuff around.
Yeah. And
the new Ram really reflects that. The interior, it is luxury class, and it's crazy how much leather there is inside this thing.
Really?
Yeah.
And how's it drive?
It's fantastic, and I got a bit of a shock looking at the sticker price because, as it turns out, the vehicle I have is Canadian. It has a Canadian Monroney label in it. So when I saw the price of $75,000, I was a little taken aback, but that's Canadian dollars.
Ah, I see.
So... it's still a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. It is a lot of money, yeah. but it's a great ride though.
It is a great ride.
Yeah. Okay. And what else have you guys been driving around since the last time I talked to you? What are some of the other ones?
This weekend I drove the Cadillac XTS V Sport. The XTS is kind of a throwback large sedan. It's really the heir to the DeVille throne. It's just kind of a big, old-school, kind of badass big sedan with a supercharged V6 under the hood. Really enjoyed that. It's a bit of an anachronism, and it's a bit expensive, but if you're looking for a sort of a long-distance highway crawler, hauler, it's really a nice car.
Yeah, okay. Great. And people can see all the reviews and read them all over at Consumer Guide, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Tom. We're not going to be able to talk fully about this the topic until after the news, but Ford made a massive announcement that shook a lot of things up and got a lot of car people nuts. Tell everybody what's going on with Ford.
Yeah, Ford made a great statement. I'm just going to read the statement because this is so telling. This was buried in a financial statement that was released in advance of the Ford stockholder meeting, which is going to happen this week, and the statement was, quote, given declining consumer demand and product profitability, the company will not invest in next generations of traditional Ford sedans for North America, end quote.
Wow.
No more sedans for North America.
That's really crazy, except for the Mustang.
Right, right. They're still going to build the Mustang. They're still going to, long term, we're still going to see the Mustang, and a version of the Focus will still be out there as well. But their other sedans will probably just live out their natural lives and maybe go a little bit longer, but that's it.
And we're talking about, what else are we talking about? Fiestas? What else?
Well, when we're talking about sedans, the traditional sedans, once very high volume was the Ford Fusion.
Right.
That's on the block. And then there's a couple of Lincoln. So, yeah, there really aren't that many sedans left. That's actually kind of the thing I don't think everyone realizes. The evolution has taken place, but now it's very real that they're going to kill them.
Yeah, and this is for financial reasons, correct?
Yeah, they just don't make that much money on sedans anymore. And the truth is that if they could move those things out of factories and sell more and put more crossovers into them, they're just going to be more profitable.
And the other thing is that you wrote an extensive piece about what this means, Tom.
I did.
And I want to get into that and all the specifics, because someone in the Dan Neal wrote in the Wall Street Journal a pretty scathing piece about it, and you sort of take that on post by post.
I do, yeah. I think that he's probably overreaching as to why Ford's doing this.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to get into that for sure. But that's a big announcement. That's a pretty... I mean, was everybody surprised by this?
You know, we all knew it was happening. I mean, we're all watching this happen, and we know crossovers are everywhere. But the rate at which consumers are rejecting sedans has accelerated, and it's kind of crazy.
Mm.
It's just happening very quickly now.
Okay. All right. Well, Ford has responded thusly. So we're going to talk about that and much more. And again, if you want to jump in here with your thoughts or comments or questions about cars or automotive stuff, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Talk and text lines are open. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us. He joins us every month to talk about what's happening in the world of cars. Big story out of Ford. We'll get more details on that and what it means coming up a little bit after the news. And then anytime you guys have a question or a comment about cars, 312-981-7200. The news is coming up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. That is also the phone number and the text number to call or text any and all automotive and car-related questions, 312-981-7200. Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, is with us. Got a couple of big news stories to talk about and your questions as well. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about some crazy food world records. Skip Skipley is in the jet. He's on the way. We'll have the final edition of Pop-Up Video before we move on to the new game called For the Record. So that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. And you can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Let's welcome Tom Appel back to the show. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, before the break, we did talk about this big announcement that Ford made.
Yeah.
Preceding its stockholders meeting, it's a big one. They're not going to be doing sedans anymore. And you broke the whole thing down in a piece that you wrote about what this means. Ford is killing off its sedans. Here's what that means. It's a very detailed piece. And tell everybody about what's going to happen now.
Yeah, there's a couple of things going on here. As for what's going on now, I think that one of the things to realize is that the statement that Ford made suggested that they weren't going to put money into next generations of these vehicles. So that means that they won't be developing all new platforms to put these vehicles on, but that doesn't mean that they can't linger forever, largely as they are. And Ford is very, very good at doing what are typically referred to as mid-cycle updates to their vehicles that are so comprehensive they make them seem like all new cars. And I think that it's likely that, especially the Ford Fusion, which still sells in relatively high volume, although a lot of those deals are fleet, which are lower profit.
Mm.
I think that vehicle can be around for a while. That can be updated, that can be fresh, and it'll be a simplified lineup, and a lot of it will probably go into business or retail fleets. But I don't think that's going to go anyway soon. So we might see that car for another decade.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know. And in terms of the sedan itself being dead, I think that even if Ford were to eliminate their sedans, and we know that FCA, which is Chrysler and Dodge, they've already done so. General Motors' plan is to eliminate a number of its sedans as well. That doesn't mean that Honda and Toyota are getting out of the game. And I think that cars like the Accord and the Camry, which have been so popular for so long, even in diminished sales, are probably worth those companies holding on to.
Yeah. So now this piece that Dan Neal wrote, he makes a couple of statements here that you kind of took issue with.
Yeah.
Saying that that Ford's move to rid its lineup of slow-selling product was in part a plot to legally maneuver around the EPA fuel economy mandates.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what was he trying to say by there with that?
There's an interesting provision in the EPA rules, and they apply to two different standards having to do with what's known as a vehicle's footprint, and that has to do with the size of the vehicle, and it's really just the distance between the wheels, both across the vehicle and the length of the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
That's the footprint. And that measured as area determines what class a vehicle falls into for the EPA. And there are certain ways that if a vehicle gets a little bit larger, the standards are a little bit easier on it. But this doesn't change the overall standard that all manufacturers still have to meet, which is that 54.5 MPG number by the year 2025 that we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, this applies to CO2 emissions and to these different metrics within sizes that they measure that have just to prevent manufacturers from cheating. And I don't think Ford's intention is to do that at all, primarily because the current migration from car to from sedan to crossover isn't to larger vehicles, it's actually to smaller vehicles. At Honda, for example, we know that most people who trade in an Accord now move to a CR-V, which is actually a slightly smaller vehicle. And at Ford, it seems likely that a lot of people are moving from the Fusion to the Escape, which is also a slightly smaller vehicle.
Interesting. Interesting. And he Dan Neal also suggests that people are being conned into buying huge SUVs, which, of course, you just said is not the case.
No, they're really not. All the activity right now in crossovers is in small, compact, and really small subcompact vehicles. And if you look at everything that's been introduced for the last 24 months, or everything that's going to come out maybe the next 12 months, they tend to be really small crossovers.
Now, how do you think that this story is going to, and obviously, you know, when it broke, everybody in the car industry went a little bit nuts, and as you said, in what you wrote, which is, I think, is very funny. Ford's recent announcement that the company plans to phase out North American sedan models has been met with such shock, fury, and unhinged contempt, you'd believe the company had just rolled out a Justin Bieber edition F-150 powered by baby harp seal blood. which indicates to me that people got a little upset about it. Now, after all the dust clears a little bit, what do you think is going to happen after this?
Not a lot. I think that, again, as we mentioned just before the commercial or the news break,
yeah,
is that there's not that many sedans left in the Ford lineup anyway. The Ford Taurus, which has been around forever, Ford can't give it away.
Yeah.
And the Fusion sales are down by about 100,000 units in the past 24 months. So the sedan sales are falling off a cliff. This was going to happen anyway, and I think that Ford's announcement was really aimed at stockholders more than anybody else. I think this is just Ford making it clear that they know what's going on, they understand the market is shifting, and they're dealing with it.
And it's interesting because, you know, like, this wasn't like a major, massive, like, PR announcement. It was a bullet point on a much bigger post.
Yeah, I don't know if they expected this much response.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So it's really interesting though, and how it's been dealt with. And if people want to read the stories about it and your piece about Ford is killing off its sedans and here's what that means, it goes into great detail. You can check it out on the website at consumerguide.com. So
yep,
we got a few texts that have come in with questions, Tom.
Great.
And then we'll move on to some other stuff. 309 area code says, please ask if the Mercedes G-Wagon is worth the money.
Wow. Presuming they actually mean the G-Wagon and not what used to be called the GL. No, it's not.
Okay.
In a nutshell, it's a really cool car. The G-Wagon is the giant Jeep Wrangler-looking things that Mercedes has been selling for 25 years.
Mm.
It actually used to be a paramilitary vehicle. Deadly, deadly high-quality off-road. Very expensive and very unpleasant to drive on the road.
Okay, so then the answer is a simple no.
No, not if you're commuting. If you're actually going off-road with your Mercedes, God love you, it's worth it.
Okay. All right. 630 area code says, my car is a 2008 Pontiac GT Coupe automatic with 40,000 miles, and my husband's is a 2010 VW Golf manual with 100,000 miles. What do you do? Sell both and buy a new Buick Encore, or sell one and keep the other?
That's a great question. I don't know. First of all, the Pontiac GT is kind of a collector's item at this point. It's actually worth money to somebody. That was that last sedan they built. Stock. If it's a GT, it was V8 powered, which made it pretty cool. I would hold on to that just in case they go up in value.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I need to know a little bit more about their circumstances.
Well, what about the Buick Encore? Is it a new Buick Encore? Would that be a good? Is that a good car to buy?
That's the car I want my parents to buy. The Encore is Buick's small crossover, and it's very small, but it's really roomy inside. And it's just a great vehicle for driving around the city. There's lots of glass area. It's easy to see out of. It's very maneuverable. And like all Buicks, it's very quiet and comfortable.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, you need a little bit more details on that. But the GT is a bit of a collector's item. It's only got 40,000 miles on it, too. So
that's a cool car.
Yeah. All right. You know, it's interesting that this text would come in, considering the next topic. There was a piece written about the pros and cons of either fixing up your old beater or buying a new car. That's always like a universal question, Tom. You get that question. I would imagine you get that question a lot. Like, should I fix up my car or get a new one?
Yeah, we do. And like our guy Rick Cotta at the office is sort of a Renaissance guy who does his own work. And his answer is always like, keep your old car.
Uh-huh.
I'm so much lazier than that. and I think that what really happens is you look at your repair bills for the last 6 months or 12 months and try to decide if those are more or less than what you think the payment would be on a new car. And that's how you make that decision. But one of the things that you have to consider, too, is the hassle of getting your car fixed all the time versus having a brand new car that's reliable.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. They kind of break it down here. It says it's fixing your car. If you opt for that, it's faster than shopping for and buying a new vehicle.
That's true.
There's no change in insurance costs.
Also true, yeah. That's a big one.
The car's history is already known. You won't waste time and money advertising and selling your car, but your repaired car might soon need more repairs.
Yeah, and selling your own car is really a hassle. I think that is a huge barrier for a lot of people, unless you're trading it in, and that is one of the things you get when you go with a new car.
Yeah, you trade it in. But then the pros for like buying a new car, the purchase can include warranties and sometimes maintenance. Recent cars have advanced safety features. Younger cars are more reliable. You'll stop wasting time schlepping to the repair garage. But a new car loan is a long-term financial commitment. Those are some of the things that you have to think about.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is your new car is probably going to get much better fuel economy.
Right. Yeah, I can't tell you the number of times, you know, when I had my Firebird, Tom, that was the 77 Firebird, my first car. I can't tell you the number of times I had that thing in the shop. Just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
The Firebird of the Camaro and Firebird of that era were among the least reliable cars ever built by Detroit. The Van Nuys plant in California, which was notorious for producing really unreliable products.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it lasted longer than I think it had any right to. But the car that I ran into the ground, I've run every car that I've ever had when I was a driver, I ran into the ground. I mean, I repaired and repaired and repaired. But my 86 Ford Escort was the one that ended up going to Victory Auto Records, Tom.
Wow, and so you actually got cash in hand.
Well, I got a check.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they didn't give me cash. I got a check. And when they came to pick up the car, because it was dead at this point, I was like, I drove that thing. I mean, man. So the Victory Auto Records guy, he shows up with the tow truck at my place. And you got to clean everything out of the car, get everything out of it, you know. So did all that and everything. And I said, hey, look, I'm going to open a door. It's going to fall off. I was acting as though that the guy who worked for Victory Auto Records had never heard that before. You know what I mean? You know, like on a daily basis. And then I was like, hey, you don't have a big leather wristwatch on, you know, because the guy in the commercial is the big leather.
Oh, yeah. That's E.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's like, you know, the guy had no patience for me at all because I just kept pulling out jokes about the commercial. Like, you know, like he doesn't get that every car that he goes to pick up, you know.
I want to say that was 610 East Green in Bentonville.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. You know, I had the guy on who's in the commercial. I had him on my show during one of the anniversaries of that commercial.
I remember that. I heard that show.
Yeah, and he was not a happy man because he was just a dude who worked at Victory Auto Records and never got a cent for the commercial. He just came into work one morning and they're like, hey, and what he's wearing was what he wore to work. That's what he wore to work. And so, yeah, it's classic. But anyway, yeah, I drove all my cars into the ground, and it is a pain in the neck, Tom, as we were talking about, to constantly having your car in the repairs.
Yeah, it is. And ultimately, though, it can be so daunting to take on a monthly payment, that decision is always super hard to make.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. If you have any car and automotive question, text or call us right now at 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, more car talk with Tom Appel. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Good morning. Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday here. 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs, and we'll play them a little bit later on. Coming up, we're going to be talking about crazy food world records. We are Also, awaiting Skip Skipley's visit here, and we're going to do a pop-up video, the final pop-up video that we're ever going to do. So, right now, though, we are talking with our good friend Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He contributes to their Daily Drive blog. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we got more car stuff to talk about and questions from you guys at 312-981-7200. Let's talk to Tom. Welcome him back. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
A couple more texts here.
Okay.
608 area code says, Tom, what does the Ford deal mean for racing? They race the Fusion in NASCAR. Are they done?
I don't think Ford's going to leave NASCAR. I think they like that sponsorship. I think that what could happen, because Chevy is now using the Camaro in NASCAR, is that Ford could go to the Mustang. And the Mustang is not on the chopping block. They intend to keep that car.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Boy, the Mustang is that's the, because that's my favorite kind of car. That's it's always been my ever since I was a kid. I love the Mustang. All styles of the Mustang throughout the years. I've always thought that they were just the coolest looking car.
Yeah, and the Mustang's been an incredibly durable nameplate too. The Firebird, the Camaro have gone away and come back and gone away, but the Mustang has been nonstop since 1964 and really strong for Ford. And it still sells over 100,000 units a year. So
yeah. And they still look cool, even the newer models.
I think they look fantastic.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Really fantastic car. 630 area code says, I drive a 2005 GMC Envoy. I was wondering what you think of the GMC Arcata, the Buick Enclave, and the Chevy Traverse. I've loved my Envoy, and it only has 110,000 miles on it, but I'm thinking of the future and wondering what you think of those choices. So it's just three cars that they were asking about.
Yeah, the three cars they just mentioned used to be basically identical. They used to ride on the same General Motors Lambda architecture. But for 2018, the Traverse, which is the Chevy, and the Enclave, which is the Buick, stayed on large architecture, whereas the Acadia shrank a little bit to be more mid-sized than large. And I really like the Acadia. And I think that if you have the five-passenger Envoy, which is probably what you had because that was the most popular, what your listener had, you might really like the new Acadia. It is a very nice vehicle. They sort of positioned it to be more like a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and that's how it feels, and that's roughly how it's sized, and it's sporty, and it's very nicely finished. Nice vehicle.
Okay. Let's see. We talked a little bit about this the last time that you were on. You guys had a test drive with the 2018 Cadillac CT6 with Super Cruise.
Yeah, Super Cruise.
And that's the autonomous driving. And you said, having driven it, one of the weird things is that you have this impulse, when the steering wheel is going to grab the wheel.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the drive itself.
Yeah, we took that thing out on the Eden. So we had three editors in the car trying to keep our hands off the wheel. And one of the great things about the Edens is you're driving away from roughly Skokie, where our office is, and going north, is there's a lot of entrance and exit ramps. So you have cars coming at you and cars leaving.
Mm.
And one of the things that the system, it actually does work, but you don't know that it's going to work, is that it knows when a car's coming up on it from the side down an exit ramp, or an entrance ramp onto the Edens, I'm sorry. And it is unsettling to wait for it to respond to that.
Oh, man.
So you're watching this happen, and at some point you're sure you're going to die. But in fact, we did not die. It worked just fine.
Yeah. But still, that's not something I want to feel as I'm driving. Like, oh, I think any moment now we're all going to die.
Yeah, it is a really weird transitional period. I mean, here we are. We're supposed to be auto guys. We're supposed to be at the cutting edge of this, but it's very hard to trust this technology.
Yeah, yeah. God, that's got to be weird. Overall, though, how was the drive? I mean, what do you think about the vehicle?
Yeah, I think it works very well. It's actually slightly oversensitive to cars decelerating in front of you, and that's just a safety function. So it might actually do just a little bit more braking than you might do as a regular driver.
Mm-hmm.
And in stop-and-go traffic, like the Edens always is,
yeah,
that might be a little unnerving. But it is impressive how well it works overall.
And how's it priced?
It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's only on the top two price levels. Our vehicle was fully loaded and came to $85,000. I think the cheapest you can do a Cadillac CTX with Super Cruise is probably right around $72,000, $73,000.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Wow. All right. Interesting test drive there. Again, you can see all that at consumerguide.com. A couple of texts to close it out for you, Tom, okay?
Sure.
708 area code said, I'm really bummed that car companies will be getting rid of CD players in their cars. I'm older, and I like having them.
Yeah, and what you're finding is that the less expensive a car is, the less likely it is to have a CD player anymore. When I started in this business 15 years ago, Lexus still had cassette players in them.
Ah.
So,
yeah.
That's how it works. The most expensive cars will still have the feature because they're kind of expensive to keep. But, yeah, at the lower end where they think that young buyers are coming in, everything is set up for Bluetooth access.
Yeah, wow. Okay. And then 218 area code says, a few years ago, there was news that the small pickup Dodge Dakota was coming back, but so far nothing. Is it still happening? Will it?
I don't know. That's a good question. It seems like everybody has a small pickup again. But Dodge has not replaced the Dakota, and they may not. If they do, it's likely to be a smaller and less heavy-duty vehicle than the one it replaced. It won't be body-on-frame. It'll probably be based on Fiat architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a smaller, sportier thing. But I don't know if that's in the works.
Okay. All right, and then finally, this is a question that would take a much longer to answer, but Robert says, what's going on with Tesla? Will it be around in 5 years? We all talked about the troubles that they were having last month.
I will give you the opinion of somebody else. The guy that hosts Autoline Weekly out of Detroit, which is a wonderful news program, thinks that no matter what happens to Tesla's financials, there's probably somebody who will snap up the brand and the vehicles they're currently building. So Elon Musk may lose control of it because simply the finances are starting to fall apart.
Yeah.
But I don't think Tesla is going to go away. There's too much brand equity there, and there's just a huge fan base for that product.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Tom, always a pleasure, my friend.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
And we'll talk to you next month. Check out consumerguide.com, and you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we'll talk to you again next month, Tom. Take care.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Take care. There you go. Tom Appel, everybody. All right. We'll take a break. We got the news coming up next.